Hey ladies, welcome to Boss Ladies Connect. I am so excited that you're joining us on this podcast where we encourage women and inspire them to fully walk in everything that they've been called to do. We believe that each person has been created with a specific purpose, and it is up to us to walk in it, to discover what it is, and to allow it to fully manifest in our lives. And so each week we have conversations that allow us to evolve and grow and to fully understand and embrace the purpose called on our lives. And so ladies, without further ado, let us get started. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode. I'm so excited about this episode. We are in the month of March. Depending upon when you're listening to this, this is being recorded or released in March of 2022. And it is absolutely Women's Month, Women's International Month. And y'all know here at Boss Ladies Connect, I love to highlight phenomenal women who are doing phenomenal things. And today's guest, she is absolutely one of those women. I'm going to share with you her bio, and then we're going to jump into this awesome conversation that we had about how she has been able to build a nine-figure business with God. So Dr. Janae Azenstrauss is the founder and CEO of Ahava Digital Group, a woman-led digital consultancy working with Fortune companies to help them connect with women consumers using data and technology. She is an award-winning Canadian businesswoman that is a recipient of the prestigious 2021 RBC Canadian Woman Entrepreneur Excellence Award, one of the 2021 EY Entrepreneur of the Year for Ontario finalist, a recipient of the 2020 WXN Canada's Most Powerful Woman Entrepreneur Award, Top 100, 2019 Honorary Presidential Service Award by the White House Military Office, and the Employer of the Year by Canadian Business. Listen, this is just a tad bit of her bio. The list goes on and on and on. And so I'm extremely grateful and thankful for her coming on and sharing her journey with us. But what you're really, really going to love about this story or about this episode is what Dr. Janae attests her success to, what has been the most impactful things in her life. And then she also, towards the end, offers some advice for those who are looking to pursue success and looking to pursue it in an entrepreneurial space. So you guys, get ready. Get your tea, get your coffee, whatever it is that you normally drink or you normally do if you're on your ride, when you're listening to this podcast, get ready to really, really be blessed by this episode. Guys and gals, help me welcome Dr. Janae Azenstrauss to Boss Ladies Connect. Hey guys, so I'm so excited as I am approaching my 200th episode. I'm so excited to be offering a masterclass webinar to help you maximize your voice, elevate your brand, and increase your influence through podcasting. Y'all, podcasting has been one of the absolute best things that I have done. There have been so many benefits beyond monetary that I have been able to gain from podcasting. I've been able to build collaborations. I've been able to increase my influence. I've definitely been able to elevate and maximize my voice. And I am going to talk to you about how to get started doing this very thing for yourself. So if you have a voice, if you have a message, if you have a story, if you have a brand, even if you are a professional in your field and want to be seen as the expert or have expertise and knowledge that you want to share, I absolutely encourage you to start your own podcast. We've all been given different gifts. We've all been given different purposes. And the brand and the message that you have deserves to be heard by other people, right? We have to begin to increase our influence. We have to begin to get the message and the brand and the purpose that has been placed on our lives outside of our four walls, right? Or our micro community, and allow the greater masses to hear it. So let me tell you a little bit about what you'll get with this masterclass webinar. This masterclass webinar is an e-course that will be teaching you how to start your podcast, how to use your podcast to elevate your message and your brand, how to repurpose the content, right? Repurposing is king, y'all. How to choose a podcasting host, how to monetize. We'll talk about marketing ideas. We'll talk about interviewing. I give interviewing tips. I have a bonus category where I go over interviewing tips. I talk about recording and editing and some of the things that I do as far as lighting, because I like to use video and audio, all about repurposing, okay? And I'll talk about the equipment and things that I use to allow me to be consistent and show up every week for you guys. I'll also talk about like getting your guests, vetting your guests, and the process that I use to do this. Listen, this is over 200 episodes worth of information that I have gathered and things that I have learned on my podcasting journey, and I'm absolutely sharing it with you. As a bonus, you will also get a podcast planner. This planner will help you break down your episodes. It will help you break down your topics, your questions, your ideas, your guests, their bio, all of the things that go into producing your podcast, right? And so I'm so excited to be offering this. If you are interested in maximizing your voice, elevating your brand, and increasing your influence, click the link in my show notes and purchase this masterclass. I'm so excited, and I can't wait to hear your podcast when I go to my phone on the podcast platforms I use to be able to hear your podcast. All right, y'all, happy talking. Hey guys, welcome to Boss Ladies Connect. I am so excited about our guest today. We have Dr. Janae with us. And y'all, it has been a minute since I have met her and actually wanted her to be on the podcast, but I'm super excited that she is here today. And Dr. Janae, would you please introduce yourself? Thank you for coming. And yeah, let the people know a little bit about you.
Thank you, Leticia. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I am Dr. Janae Eisenstrauss, and I am the founder and CEO of Ahava Digital Group, a woman-led digital consultancy that works with Fortune Corps and media companies to help them connect with women consumers. And we do that using data and technology.
Well, I'm so excited to talk with you to find out more about your journey and the things that you've been able to accomplish and how you've been able to accomplish those things. But before we get started, I'd love for you to share one fun fact about yourself that most people wouldn't know just by Googling you.
Oh, what most people don't know about me by Googling me is that I was once an aspiring singer, and I chose to go the path of business instead of singing. Cause I was like, music is a business, right? But you know, I really do believe that wasn't the path that God had for me. And I see that now, because sometimes you can even be great at something, but just because you're great at something doesn't mean that's what you're called to do. And I think a lot of times we have to know what is our passion and things, the areas that, where's our genius? Where's our genius? That's actually the piece I was going to share. Where is our genius and where does that lie? And my genius lied in business, entrepreneurship, and communication. So I ended up in this realm, which I love.
So I have a question for you, because it's interesting that you brought up the where does your genius lie. I think sometimes a lot of people get confused with like, well, I'm passionate about this and I'm passionate about this, and I just want to do all of the things. What was one of the things that helped you, I guess, narrow it down or decide that this was the path that you should go versus the singing?
Well, I wouldn't say that for me, it wasn't so much a narrowing down. I would share this. I don't, and in my journey, from the time I was a young child, I was always guided. Like I actually felt, and we can talk openly about spirituality. It was God. Like God was always guiding me. I knew that I was created to do something big. I just didn't know what that big thing was. And I felt that from since I was a child. One, I was very different than everyone else. And I felt like I was always on the outside of everyone else. Which when you talk to most renowned leaders, they're like, they already knew something was like a little bit off with them. I never fit in. I was popular, but I didn't fit in with anybody either. Okay. And that's even including my own family. I was a gifted child. My mother didn't even know what to do with me because I kind of broke what was the family mold or what their prototype was. So I see it now. This was the path that God always wanted me to walk through. And it wouldn't have mattered. I was actually sharing with a friend last night that where some other people were able to go down certain paths, I would get intentionally shut doors. Like, you're just not going that way. I don't care if you beat the door. I'm not never opening that door. And so I think for me, I was always going to end up here because that's what I believe I was called on the earth to do. Even if it was a stepping stone for me getting to where he wants me to be for the next part of my journey, it was always going to be this way. Wow. It doesn't matter. Even if I discovered, listen, even if I shared with you the story behind why I didn't sing, and that's more of a story for behind the scenes, but of why I did not sing, it had nothing to do with fear. I had my heart set on it. It was literally God's like, I'm shutting this door just so you know. And so, I ended up fumbling through a bunch of different jobs and where's this going? And he kept drilling finance into me. I worked for a multinational American bank. I worked for two Canadian banks in commercial and retail. And then I eventually went bummed around, worked for Canon. I went there. It was like every job that I was taking, I was in finance. I'm like, why are we dealing with finance? You already know I don't like talking about money. I don't want to have anything to do with money. But there, obviously, it made sense. It makes sense now looking back, connecting the dots. At the time in your late teens, early 20s, none of this makes any sense. You're like, where's this all going? Where's it going? Right.
I love that. So it makes me want to ask you, why did you start your company? What was it that I guess that sparked that idea or that concept? How did everything evolve for you?
So much of my journey is spiritual. With Ahava Digital, it wasn't called Ahava Digital in the beginning, but the vision that I was given is that I was going to have a media company. I was going to start a media company. It was going to be a global company. And I actually just started taking all of the gifts that I had and started throwing them out there to the universe. From, if anybody looks me up online, they'll see that I've done children's books. I have a multitude of different things that I've done throughout my journey that's led up to this point. Ahava Digital was actually something that I did in the background. In the very beginning, it wasn't the primary focus. It was just a way to pay the bills. I'd probably say when my passion kind of collided with purpose is when I finally gave pushback to like my board of advisors. I was like, look, you guys are very bottom line driven, but I should not want to not wake up in the morning and come and do what it is that I believe that I was called to do. And so women, I've always been passionate about. And so I integrated women back into the conversation. And then there was another spark with this other, with a client of ours that said, you know, we're looking for a certain type of data. And this data conversation actually pivoted me in a different direction. I actually stumbled upon an opportunity to acquire data, but I didn't necessarily go looking for it. I was looking for something else. I was looking for data for something else and was presented with an opportunity to purchase a company. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Yeah. And so it was a combination of serendipity, collaboration. God was all over that situation and I was just guided. And so when I started the company, a lot of times people are like, well, did, like, I always knew that I was going to be great. I just didn't know how. I actually just shared the story, this in another talk that I had today, is that when you look back at my high school yearbooks, everybody thought I would be famous for singing, right? I just never thought it would have been business. So,
wow. When you said, so you said you were given an opportunity to purchase a company. Mm-hmm. Immediately I thought about like fear. Like, was there any fear during this journey as like, you know, God is directing you and leading you to do certain things, but you're not really clearly understanding what it's about, what it's for? Can we talk about that area a little bit?
Did you have any challenges of fear? The whole thing was fearful. The whole situation was fearful. It was fearful for one, because I wasn't in alignment with God at that time in my journey. I was actually on what I would call a new age of spiritual journey, the woo-woo-woo. And I was walking through all of that and, relinquishing Jesus. And I was actually talking against the church. I won't even deny it. I was out there publicly speaking against the church and God. And he kept sending his messengers to tell me how much he loves me. And I was like, no, you don't, because you're not doing what I told you to do. Right. So we get into this pridefulness, but there was a lot of fear. Definitely. The funny thing is that he never, there wasn't a place that I could possibly go to get away from him. And so even though that, I wasn't in alignment with him, for he was continuing to bless me. I actually tell people in my journey, I have to be marked. Okay. Like, I can't go. There's not a place that I can go that he doesn't have his hand on me at any point. So in the process of this journey of me even acquiring this company, another situation where his hand shows up, I met a woman, American woman entrepreneur, who couldn't afford to purchase the company, but I could. And so I purchased the company. And I purchased the company. And so it's a part of our the fueling force behind Ahava Digital, which is in fact our data and our proprietary technology that goes along with that data. And the rest is history. From that point, we pivoted the company. We were able to provide and meet the needs of our already existing clientele, and then we acquired new clientele with that purchase. And now what we do with that data is that we help underdeveloped countries stimulate their economies with that data.
Wow. Look at how big God did it, right? So
it was better. His plan was totally better. I didn't even go looking for this. I'm telling people, I tell people, if you'll just give God a little bit, like when people, even in that place of rebellion, Leticia, even when people say to me, they used to say to me, so Janae, I see that you're talking against God. Some people knew me from when I was in the church. They're like, you're talking against God. So what, you don't believe in God anymore? I would say to them, work him with a mustard seed. All he needs is a mustard seed. It's just that little mustard seed. And eventually, you know, parts of my story from our relationship, I came back to him in 2018, and history has been made.
Wow. I love the part of the story where you talk about how, like, when God has his hand on you, he's not just going to let you go. Right. So he's going to send people, he's going to keep tugging at you because he wants you, like he wants you to be everything that he's called you to be. Mm-hmm. And so I love that part of your story. Were you going to say something else?
Yeah, well, no, because there's so many little intricate pieces, like, you know, parts of my story, right? And so there's the little piece of where, as I'm thinking about, like, the stories of, you know, the one where I was having the business meeting at the park, and then the lady brings up Christianity, and I go off on this large tangent on why Christianity makes no sense. And then 30 minutes later into the walk, after this all died down, we had moved on in the conversation, this woman appears with a dog out of nowhere, by the way, okay? And if people understood why I say out of nowhere, there's only two ways in and out of this place. And so you can see long and far in one direction and long and far in the other direction. There's no place that anybody can hide on this public path. And the woman walks over with the dog and she looks at me and she kind of sparkles and she's like, Jesus told me to tell you how much he loves you. And I was infuriated, okay? I was like, Jesus loves me, right? Because that was my retort. Jesus loves me. I was stuck in so much pain. So anybody, like God even saying that. But the reason why I was infuriated, because I knew it was him. And years later, I was having a conversation with somebody, and I remember those times when I, in the early years when I was building the company and I was going through hardships, when you're talking about fear, there's times where I couldn't feed my kids or do certain things. I remember saying to God, you know, I'll sell my soul to the enemy for $1 million. And what God actually brought to me now, he's like, the reason why I never left you alone, because you were bought with a price. You can't take, I already bought you. You can't sell something that doesn't belong to you. So this is the whole story of him running me down. So anyway, the rest is history. I'm here now and I'm standing. So
I love it. I love it. Since you're talking a lot about how you were in the church before and then you left the church and then now you're back in the church, do you mind sharing a little bit of like what was the break for you on both ends, like the break when you left the church and the break when you came back to the church?
Well, it was disappointment. In the beginning, when I left the church in 2004, it had nothing even to do with the church. I had a wonderful experience with Christianity. It wasn't the people. Everybody was lovely and wonderful to me. And even if there was people, it's not a reflection of who God was. It was me and God had a falling out. Okay. I had felt at that point that I had walked through at that young age through a lot of headache in my formative years. And the fact that I finally got in alignment with him, and why hasn't my life transformed? And why can't he heal me from this pain and shame and all of this stuff? And so, and then on top of that, I just never felt like my life was going forward. I was haphazardly constantly going from job to job. There was no direction or anything like that. And keep this in mind too, I didn't have mentors or counselors or anything like that. Everybody was coming to me. And a lot of times when even I would meet with people that were further along in their journey than me, I ended up becoming the therapist in the situation. Right? Because a part of the gift that God gave me is this heightened level of insight. So it wasn't as if there was anybody that could really nurture me or meet me at that time. And so I end up walking away, and it was slow. It wasn't immediate. And then I was like a 16-year hiatus. In that 16 years, I got married. I had a couple of kids. I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy at all. And I married, the man that I married actually was a Jewish man. And so I walked through Judaism. And the part I always share in my story is that Christianity, I had a wonderful experience with Christianity. I had a horrible experience with Judaism. But in the fairness, Judaism healed me. And it healed me in the end because it brought forth some real truths. Jesus makes total sense. But does Jesus make sense under institutional Christianity? No. And obviously under Judaism, Jesus isn't, the concept of Jesus isn't accepted. So it left me in a quandary, right? So there was this place where I was kind of stuck between these two gardens of Christianity and Judaism. And finally I resided on, when I came back to Christ, that I know that I believe in God. I know I believe in Jesus. I know I believe in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to let God sort it out. When I came back to Christ also, it was more about the heart experience. The first time it was a lot of legalism and just being stuck in a lot of things that I had been taught from being sent to church and then being around other people that had grown up in church. So you can get legalistic and not really understanding God's grace. You hear it, but do you really, can you really rest and reside in God's grace? Of it. So I could definitely practice Christianity, but I wasn't, and I could live Christian by abstaining from certain things, partaking in this very rigorous form or even rigid walk with God wasn't a problem. But I couldn't say I had a relationship with him in the way that I have a relationship now. The relationship now is healthy. You know, when I was in rebellion, I used to tell him I felt like I was a beaten woman, right? I just felt like there was a lot of domestic violence in mine and his relationship that, you know, I was constantly coming to him, pouring out my heart, but he wasn't transforming the situation, not even realizing I was never letting him into the situation to transform it.
Mm.
You have to invite him in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like Something that you said that stood out to me was, and I love the transparency about it, that you were mad. Like, you were mad and disappointed because of all the things that you had to experience and the things that weren't working out. And I think that's like a very real place to be, and not a lot of people admit that they're there. And then I think it causes like a level of blockage, because you're not able to heal in that space. And I love that. And then I love you were talking about, in the end, you knew that you believed him. You knew that you believed in God. You knew you believed in Jesus. You knew you believed in the Holy Spirit. So you were like, I'm just going to believe and let him sort out the rest. Like, let him in, basically. It's like, I'm here.
Now, well, as easy as that sounds, it wasn't that easy, because the year that I came back to Christ was probably the worst year of my adult life. Mm. I would actually say I would have walked through divorce again before even walking through that year again. That's how horrible that year was. That year was filled with, there was professional and personal dynamics. One, I had my boundaries egregiously overstepped by a person who wanted to be a friend, but I could see them and I kept putting them at bay and trying to use my partner as a time as a scapegoat as to why I was not willing to invite that person into my reality, but it had nothing to do with my partner. I could just see that person didn't have good intentions towards me. And then eventually that was revealed. So there was a betrayal that took place. And then I had a company issue that took place that, long story short, it involved international law enforcement. There were so many things that were involved in this particular situation as the catalyst to me becoming to the next level. But it wasn't about humbling. It was about the fact that God had to bring me to a place where I came to the end of myself. And I remember one day in my office, in dealing with this ongoing situation at work, where we were fighting a particular policy, a particular piece of law under California legislation for employers. And we had tried to transform this situation. We're doing everything that we know how. We have our lawyers and legal and all this stuff. And nothing was working. And then I got down on my knees in my office, and through clenched teeth, I was like, God, I know I haven't spoken to you in quite some time. I know that I talk against you, but I'm coming to you asking if you will help me. All I know, the next day, the problem was gone.
Wow.
And so from that place, through clenched teeth again, I thanked him. But I'll never forget that day, because when I talk about clenched teeth, I wasn't joking about that. It took everything within me to even ask him for help. And it sounds so petty, juvenile, immature, but that's what happens when you're bound. That's what happens when you become calloused, right? It just happens when you become callous. And so from that experience throughout the summertime, eventually we'd go on a family vacation. And my partner at the time sent me a video of Tyler Perry. And he was sharing his story with Joe, on the Joe Osteen's, to his congregation. And there's one part that Tyler Perry shares just before he made it, that he said he was praying and God revealed to him, I had to prove you to you. And I was listening to this and I started hollering in laughter to the point my family's looking at me and they're like, why are you laughing? Because I knew that was for me, right? The whole point of this test was I needed to prove you to you, that you had the ability to do this. And I went back home. It was like, I send my kids to school and I sat for almost 16 hours a day. I didn't even return to work. My staff was like, where are you? right? I said, I'll eventually be back there. I was just watching Christian content for 3 weeks straight over and over before I would even let Jesus anywhere near me. Even still, I accept Jesus Christ. I didn't even want to utter the fact that I was doing that, but it was just like through breathy whispers, Jesus, I'm inviting you back into my heart. And then it was still a journey and a process to getting back.
Wow. It makes me, because I can, like, some people come to mind, some like people that I know that come to mind that have dealt with like disappointment and dealt with like bitterness and like anger. And I can see the struggle to get back to the place. So I'm just wondering, like, what would you say to someone who has found themselves in that space? And they know that Christ and God is the answer, but they're still dealing with like all those layers of things.
Trust God with your pain. During that time that I was away from God, I walked through every major religion, Buddhism, Hinduism, all of it. I tried so many different healing modalities, all the things that the people of the world are talking about. It took one word of saying, Jesus, I invite you back into my heart. And my heart mended back together. So for me, Jesus is an experience. Okay, there's power in the name of Jesus. Can't tell you what that power is. Can't describe what that power is. Personally, don't even care how to define that power. What I do know is that there is, in fact, power. Okay, so from all of my Hindu meditation chants, all my Buddhist chants, not one of those things were able to make me whole. Ever since I accepted Jesus Christ back into my heart, my heart is back together. My life is totally in every intricate area in order. Okay. It doesn't mean that I don't have come up against challenges or don't have things to put through, but God has created order out of chaos. He has brought even more love and beauty into my life, success, joy, peace, happiness. I'm blessed.
I love it. I love it. So you were talking about success. So I was telling you before we actually hopped on this podcast, or maybe I mentioned it when we first jumped on, but like we've known each other for about a little over a year. We're part of a group that you lead. And I've never intentionally, for maybe like the first 6 or 7 months, I didn't Google you.
I've actually only had a handful of women Google me. I don't even know if I shared the story with the first woman that Googled me. And she's like, I went and looked you up. And I was like, this is going to be my leader. And da da da. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there embarrassed. And there was another woman that was co-leading with me at the time. And she went off camera because she was laughing because I'm like, I was so embarrassed, right? I'm so embarrassed, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I specifically was like, you know, after a couple of meetings and things, I kind of got an idea that, you know, you were doing some big things, but I was like, okay, I don't want to Google her and then start putting, because, you know, you can put people in pedestals, like mm-hmm. in different places. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to grow. I want to be a part, you know, I want to just build authentically. And then when I did Google you, I was like, oh, wow, Dr. Janae doing some things. And so I'd love to talk to you a little bit about like your success and how you've been able to navigate that. Because
That's the only answer I have for you on that entire time. The reason why I say God is because he's always been with me. People ask me all the time, well, how did you acquire the relationships that you have, God? I will tell you this. Every time, God, like, I don't even know what else to say but that. Every time that I attempted to navigate any business deal that I put my hands on, the door would get shut. And the moment that then I would release it, I'd get disappointed. And you see, the disappointment that I suffered earlier on actually laid the foundation for my perseverance. That's the whole thing. So disappointment doesn't even faze me right now. I can be disappointed. I can have my little pouty cry, and then God will come to, like, he won't leave me alone. Like, he wants to have this conversation, right? And I was just like, I remember saying, and this is even recent. In December, I got disappointed about something, and I remember sitting on the couch, and I was like, quiet. You know when you're festering and you're quiet on the couch, and the kid, nobody was around me, and I'm like, God, don't talk to me right now. Like, I was like in my feelings, like totally in my feelings, and he wouldn't leave me alone. But you can feel that tugging at your heart, like, turn on this video, just watch this word, so that way, you know, I can transform your mindset around this disappointment. And it's really funny. But in terms of my story around success, these are more of my advice. Okay, I want people to be successful because God has called his people to live an abundant and happy life. But I think the part that we have misconstrued, even in the church, is that people are chasing money. It's not even about God. And it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So seek God first, and then he will add all of these things unto you. Okay. I think the part that we've misconstrued is that we're looking at the world to set the tone for the kingdom. The world can't. The world is topsy-turvy. So even though God may have set up certain systems, they have been corrupted and convoluted by sin. So there's no point in even looking there. And it's really sad a lot of times when people in the church get so focused on, oh, I have to get this money and get this paper. No, you don't. Do what God has called you to do, and he will add everything unto you. You chase God, money chases you. Never chase that. And I will even share this. When you look at the top performing people in industries, they're not chasing money. So I'll share that they're solving problems, meaning they were more concerned about solving a problem than focused up on, oh, well, I'm going to be a multi-billionaire. That was a byproduct of solving a large problem. So if you want to be successful, look at through the eyes of serving and the fact that you're looking to solve a large problem. Great leaders serve people. It's not about this power paradigm. And in the fairness, the power paradigm of leadership is passing away because we have seen it to be ineffective. It doesn't yield great results. And many people are unfortunately end up being burnt out under those forms of leadership. Servitude leadership is an old concept, but it's a concept that is actually effective in this new wave of leadership, right? And so when I think about success, solve problems. Be more focused on solving a big problem instead of I need to come up with like a business because I saw that Letitia had a business. So I need to mimic that because I need to be about my hustle. You're looking at, you're comparing. That's not even what God has called you to. You're more concerned about getting money so that way you can floss. The kingdom isn't about flossing.
Right.
Think about what Jesus and the disciples, they were wearing in Hebrew, or Yiddish, I should say, we'll say shmatas. They're like cloth, right? Like just like drapey cloth. Jesus was not, and even though he was a king, he wasn't dressed in laced out garments. That's not what was happening here. And it's really sad when the people of God, we're supposed to look regal and to carry ourselves and to look poised, but you don't need to be flashy to do that. Yeah. That isn't wealth and that isn't success, and wealthy people don't carry themselves that way anyhow. And even if they have designers, you won't even know because it's something that you can't tell.
Yeah. I definitely know a couple of people who I would say they probably have millions of dollars. I mean, I don't know their bank account, but I know that I wouldn't know it. I mean, if we weren't like connected through family, like I wouldn't know it.
Exactly. Well, this is funny thing. When people meet me, they're like, when they discover who I am, they're like, oh, but you're so down to earth. Why wouldn't I be? Like, what created this illusion that I wouldn't be down to earth, that my flesh and blood is any different than your flesh and blood? Just because I'm operating in my genius doesn't mean that you don't have a genius. All people have value. Right. And we're all a part of, and even though God talks about that, we're all a part of this body. And, you know, I think one, like, there are parts that have, that are given more responsibility in the terms of life. And that could be because the person has the fortitude, or God wants to do something particularly great through the creation of this person. But it doesn't mean that, you know, the janitor is just as important as the CEO. The CEO can't go into his office and be effective and efficient in his work if everything is astray and stinky and all over the place. Everybody has value. So right. It's, you know what? I think that when we look at success, the healing points around success has to be the narrative via media around success. And I'm seeing that more in companies now that we've kind of ushered in this wave of being more focused on SDGs, ESG, so social and sustainable responsibility, governance, and in creating these types of standards that align with more of a holistic perspective, you're going to see a huge shift. But it definitely has to catch up to all groups, all communities, so we can transform this conversation and get away from hustle. Like, one of the words that you will never hear me use in my organization is the word hustle or hustler. Okay, that actually aligns with scarcity mindset. If you know what it actually in definition it means to hustle, you're just a hamster wheel. You're never going to be operating in abundance. So people need to transform their conversation. If you want wealth is dynamic. It is edifying. It's rich. It is holistic. It's harmonious. Wealth is all encompassing. If you want to get rich, people can be rich and be horrifically miserable.
Yeah. And we see it all the time. Mm-hmm. We see it all the time. So that makes me curious about success in terms of like boundaries and with the relationships, mm-hmm. and how, as you moved up, how have you had to set like boundaries in that way? Because of the assumptions that people may have, or just the not good motives that people have. And I think also as an individual, like as a woman, having to set certain boundaries and not feeling bad about it. Like,
yeah, I can definitely, and you know parts of my story on this. I will share this. Growing up, I always had really great boundaries. I had really great boundaries outwardly. There was a lot of dynamics and personally, that there was boundaries, but people will overstep boundaries because they want to get a reaction out of you. There's some people, and even in your families, that want to diminish you to keep you beneath their feet. And one of the things that I will share with you outrightly, a part of even the story where I shared about the betrayal, the role of responsibility that I played in that is that I already knew that relationship should have ended because the symptoms were already there. The person actually reached out to me via social media through another person. They were clout chasing. Oh, connect me with this person. So herein lies, I grew up in a way that I grew up like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Everybody loves their neighbor. And when you grew up in a very insular dynamic, you see the good in people. You never want to see people bad. Unfortunately, in the last 10 years, I've had to come face to face with the fact that evil is in fact really real. It's not something that we just read about in a book or read hear on the news. And in these situations that I have walked through, for professional reasons, I did have to acquire security. So that was one piece. So it's not just exclusive to celebrities or political figures. It's even ultra high net worth or entrepreneurs that house proprietary items definitely have to ensure that they are protected. That was a bit of a shift for me, for sure. And an unfortunate reality as a byproduct of that, where people, they don't see that. There was also a real reality that a lot of people's mindsets, especially around success, and especially if you're coming from communities that have been socioeconomically oppressed, have this illusion of, well, if you're wealthy, then you're supposed to look like a hip hop video. If you're plain Jane, then not. You know, my first exposure to wealthy people was in my first marriage. And it's funny, being growing up Black and seeing how Black people depict wealth, and then being inserted in, and then myself growing up in a total white dynamic and being around wealthy people that have money and you don't even know, because like they look like Farmer Joe, right? Like they're just like really plain and simple. And then even a part of the illusion that was created around me was, well, how come you're so plain and simple? Because the part in their head was, if I had your money, this is what I would do. But you're not a good steward. That's why God didn't give that to you. That's what you're not understanding. You're not connecting the dots. God doesn't just give people stuff. If he can trust you with little, he'll trust you with more. The reason why, and I will share this outright, I am not shocked by me becoming as successful as I became. Because I can look back now and connect the dots that I was groomed for this from the time that I was a little child. Like God already knew this is where I'm leading you. Some people, but that's the difference between people that are operating in purpose and people that just want to get rich, right? They don't, wealth is about your money's working for you and you have time to invest and give back into other people, right? Some people that want to get rich, you can have money and never get off the wheel. And never get off the wheel. That's actually one of the reasons why I will share with you, even though I think that like entertainment creates a lot of brilliance and puts out, I've never wanted to be a celebrity. I don't want even a touch of fame, because fame, a lot of celebrities are just a super class of an employee that they're constantly on this wheel of relevancy that they have to upkeep. I have no desire for that. I'll take power spot anytime. You don't even need to see me. You'll feel me, but you don't even need to see me.
Oh, this has been so good. I love that when you said the hustle is like being on the hamster wheel. And I often, when I share my story, I talk about how one of the reasons I left my 9-to-5 to pursue purpose and walk in purpose is because I felt like I was on a hamster wheel, just going around and around and around, but getting nowhere and accomplishing nothing. And so I can definitely relate to that. And so I appreciate you sharing that. So before we go, is there anything that you'd like to share with everyone or those that are listening that may encourage or inspire them to keep going forward?
Yeah, keep going forward for sure. Definitely keep going forward for sure. And then, you know, really press into God to align you with your purpose. I know that in my own journey, and just like as you were sharing there, Leticia, when you're asking me about boundaries, I really had to put in some really healthy boundaries, repurposing certain boundaries and even repurposing people within my network and in this new season of growth. So relationships are really important, and I want people to be mindful of the company that they keep. Don't cast your pearls before swine. And a lot of times we do that, especially when we're not in alignment with God, because the Holy Spirit isn't there and our principles become eroded because we're around people that have poor character, right? So even if you have good character, over time, it'll become eroded. So just ensure that you have people around you that are uplifting you, inspiring you, championing you on, ensuring that that you have people around you that can pray for you, because the weapons of our warfare are mighty and this battle is not against flesh and blood. So that's what I would share. That's my inspiration.
That was good. That was good. And as you're talking, I'm just thinking about people. I'm thinking about people and myself. So I definitely appreciate that. Can you let everyone know how they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. LinkedIn and my website.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Janae, for being on Boss Ladies Connect. This has been so impactful and powerful, and I appreciate you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ladies, did you enjoy that episode or what? Did this episode speak to you in some kind of way? I would absolutely love to hear about it. Y'all know it does my heart good when you subscribe and you share this podcast with someone else that you know can absolutely benefit from it. Y'all, we are out here connecting, walking in our purpose, and encouraging each other along the way. I love meeting with you every week, and I'd love to stay further connected. be sure to follow me on Instagram at Tisha_talks and to visit my website, www.tishatalks.org. You'll find the podcast, you'll find other videos, and you'll find other courses and classes and workshops, conferences, the list goes on and on, to the things that we are currently doing so that we can further connect beyond this weekly podcast. So ladies, without further ado, I want you guys to walk fully in everything that you've been called to, align your passion with your purpose, and go out there and get everything that has your name on it. Talk to you later.